I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod Christmas Special. Ring your jingling bells. Jingle your bells. What are you eating, Jamie? Sounds like you're eating.
Absolutely nothing, Howell. Absolutely nothing.
Chewing on something? Chewing on your teeth?
No, I've got nothing in my mouth. This is just the way I sound.
Something's going on.
Is it my bed? Am I on my bed?
Yeah, it'll be bad.
Yeah, it's a bit of a scrunchy quilt cover.
That'll be the issue. Well, welcome to it. So last week's episode, by the way, brought to you by TrustedVegas.com. Don't forget to go and have a look at that website. Last week, it was the Jinxed episode. It really did all go wrong last week, didn't it?
Yeah, man, it was an absolute travesty, Howell.
Mm. So, ask me how it's going to go this week.
How's it going to go this week, Howell?
Well, I sent out the open invitation reminding people that they could join us. Matt cannot join us in time for Christmas. Matt, Wandless Moriarty, is busy.
Oh.
Christian, I can't see, he doesn't appear to be available. Ben doesn't appear to be available. Jack has got in touch saying that he can't join us.
Well, apparently it's flooding in the lakes again, isn't it?
Flooding in the lakes. But that's not why Jack is at a Christmas party. We may be able to get Marsha on for this, festive Christmas knees up.
It would be nice to have someone on.
Yeah, Marsha?
Yeah, well, you know, beggars can't be choosers.
No, I was asking Marsha if she was there. I couldn't see.
Oh, God. Marsha?
Well, beggars can't be choosers.
this is actually starting to become a little bit like the Bill Murray, A Very Murray Christmas, isn't it, actually?
Oh, well, that's just perfect, isn't it? I'm a bit annoyed that there wasn't more love given to Bill Murray's Very Murray Christmas.
I think I need to watch it again, drunk. I think maybe if I watched it again drunk, I'd enjoy it a bit more.
Yeah,
maybe I was watching it too sober of mind, so I would like to watch it again and reassess. Oh, I'll tell you what I have watched, though. Adam Sandler's... Have you seen Adam Sandler's done a film on Netflix?
Yes.
The
Ridiculous Six. I started it the other night.
It's bad.
I've got 10 minutes in so far, and I like my Adam Sandler, but...
Yeah. You know what the worst thing about the film?
What?
Is Adam Sandler. He just sucks all the comedy out of the... Everyone else is actually really quite funny in it at times, but the best joke in it is a donkey shitting all over a door. That's the best joke in the film. And like, he just, I don't know why, but he feels like he's trying very hard not to be funny in it, or he just doesn't care, but yeah, it's not great.
I think he's trying to make sure he's not disrespectful to Indians.
I think that, the whole controversy around that...
To Native Americans. The point is, they refer to them in the, you know, it's cowboys and Indians, right? That's the world we're in, it's the Western.
Absolutely.
He doesn't want to be seen to be playing an Indian, he wants to be seen to be playing a Native American who kind of has superpowers.
Yeah, he's got some sort of extraordinary knife skills. Mm. But like, I think it scared him into making a film that he was very worried about, like his portrayal then of what he was doing, and he was thinking more about that than making it funny.
Mm.
And you know, it lost a lot. It does lose a lot of the...
Although the controversy didn't happen until like partway through or whatever. I can't imagine him being that consistent if he changed his mind about it. I think he's just made the mistake of like not realizing that the reason we really, really like Adam Sandler. Like, if you really, really like Adam Sandler films, the reason you do is because he plays Adam Sandler, and his laughter's genuine. There's something about his style that's almost a nod and a wink to the idea that, hey, you know, I kind of wrote this.
So once
he begins to play a character that isn't either daft or dark version of himself, if it's actually a character that he's playing, it's kind of a bit odd. And I feel sort of sorry for him, because it's a good idea, like taking on a Western is a good idea for him, I think. But
yeah, there's like, it is a good idea. It's a good format to make fun of. It doesn't actually make fun of it a lot. Actually, there aren't that many gags. Like, there's not that many moments where you go, that's a funny line, that's funny. You know, it doesn't sort of like, it's not like a Marx Brothers film where the just jokes keep coming and, you know, they kind of have a rhythm to them. There's nothing like that in the story. And like, there's a scene in it where they're all singing this song around the campfire. It's quite funny. It's actually one of the bits where I really enjoyed it. And then he sings. And then he just sucks all the comedy out of the moment. And you're just like, oh.
Do you think you need to watch it again? Is it like a...
God, I don't know if I could, to say the truth.
Is it supposed to be funny, though? I mean, are we like misunderstanding the actual tone?
Oh, no. It's definitely meant to be funny. Right. It's meant to be a comedy. I think he's trying to be the heart of the film, the heart of the story. But in doing that, you know, sometimes the thing with Adam Sandler is when he tries to be a bit more serious is he just sort of goes totally deadpan and he loses all emotion from his face almost, and like just stops even doing anything. Like he's scared to do any emotion, and he barely does any emotion in the film. I know he's trying to sort of portray a certain type of like someone who's been brought up in this sort of Native American world, but he's barely worth being in the film.
Kind of looks like an emo kid, doesn't he? He's kind of got hair straightened, black hair, and is really moody.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of his... it's sad, but then, I've only watched 5 minutes, so that's my opinion.
Well,
I can't take your opinion for it, because you've written off Very Merry Christmas, which is just... I don't know how you've written that off.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give it another go. But, I mean, I didn't not like it. I just, there were moments where I was a little bit like, I thought the Chris Rock bit was really funny. I thought the bit where they were singing together was funny. There was some funny bit, and the George Clooney bit was funny. There were just a few other moments that didn't really kind of like register, but maybe
isn't it supposed to be a kind of a half depressed,
maybe that's the problem.
Cliches.
Yeah, I don't think I knew what it was before. I mean, I think maybe you need to know what it is before you go in with something like that, because I didn't know what I was getting.
What did you expect? If you turned Bill Murray inside out, this is what it would look like, I think.
I thought it would be a bit like Scrooged, a sort of, you know, miserable Bill gets shown the wonder of Christmas. It's kind of what I thought. Like, when I saw a trailer for it, he just looked like he was... You know, Christmas was shut down, New York was shut down, and he was just miserable. He had his antlers on his head. I just thought, this is his sarcastic look at his cynical worldview of Christmas is then blown up by all these celebrities cheering him up. That's what I thought it was going to be like.
Isn't that interesting? Perhaps it's because I didn't see any I didn't have any preconceptions other than I thought that it would be... Well, it is exactly what I hoped it would be, in a way.
Okay.
Just a complete unspinning of Christmas, whilst at the same time having all of the things in it that you want, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, if you want a sentimental Christmas, then you need songs, you need pop stars, film stars, and it was like that, but really screwed up.
Screwed up
version of that. Anyway. Do you want to know the chart this week?
Have we got one? Ugh.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, the algorithms department has just sent me the chart. It also says to me that Christian is online, but we ain't connecting to him.
That's awkward, isn't it? I mean, if he's online and he's choosing not to connect to us, that's really embarrassing. At least don't be online if you don't want to talk to us.
Oh, God.
We'll try him again, Howell.
Yeah, I'll just try everybody.
I should talk about Star Wars as well, because I watched it today.
Did you?
You know what? You know last week how... You've not seen it, have you, yet?
Wait a minute. Let me do the top 10.
Okay.
What was your tease going to be there? Last week, what?
Last week, you said, should I watch... Why should I watch? Should I watch the Star Wars film?
That's
if
correct.
I don't like the Star Wars world and that stuff, and I'm not interested in the Star Wars.
I may have said that. I believe what I actually said was, if there is one company that can make this work for me, it's Disney.
Well, I don't know if it's the company that are at all
it's
involved
Disney.
In how good
it's,
it is. But
of course, it is.
This is a film you will like, Howell.
Yeah,
I think you'll really like it, and I don't think it matters that you've not watched any of them,
because Disney know. What Disney
no,
doing.
No, J.J. Abrams knows
yeah,
what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah, of course, he does, but under the guide, the watchful eye of the mouse. At number 10 this week in the chart is Last Kingdom.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's been on BBC Two, but I've not watched any of it.
At number 9, Arrow, certainly have watched Arrow, very good. At number 8, Outlander. Number 7, Homeland. Number 6, The Walking Dead. Number 5, Game of Thrones. 4, Car Share. 3, Luther, 2, oh. Big Bang Theory, and Downton up there at number 1 for Christmas. There you go.
No, it's interesting. I was thinking about Luther.
Yeah. Jack was banging on about it last week and saying how wonderful it is. And...
Yeah, it was back last week. I think it's even on the night we're recording this. And I forgot to mention that one of my problems with Luther is that it's just a 4-episode series.
Mm.
I guess it's the same way like with Sherlock, but Sherlock are in like an hour and a half, like they were film length episode. And I just don't know. My problem with Luther is that it's 4 episodes. It's really good. Like it's usually like following a serial killer each, but it doesn't feel like you get enough time in that world to really just go with it and enjoy it. And maybe it's the BBC's thing.
Well, BBC has more time than everyone else.
Yeah, but they never do. When do the BBC ever do more than, like, I think the most I've ever known them do episode-wise is maybe 9 episodes of anything.
Yeah.
Of an actual drama. When do they ever do, like, 12 plus, 13, maybe? You know, I'm not expecting them to do 22, like the West Wing 24-episode series. But they never do, like, a 12 to 13-episode series.
Well, you can't comment on this, but I believe it's because the BBC is... lives in a permanent state of fear. That's why. Don't comment. You're about
no
to
comment.
Work for them in the new year.
Apparently, okay. So. Yeah.
But that's why I think they have to. They've found themselves backed into many corners, fearing criticism, and actually they need to just get on out there. Like, somebody there needs to go, you know what we need to do? We need to use some of our vast wealth into taking on something like The Walking Dead. Let's give a team a massive bunch of money and let them risk it. You know, there doesn't seem to be any level of risk taking going on.
No,
because
well, I mean,
scared.
Well, I don't understand why they don't take something like Luther that works, that's popular, massively popular, and just go bigger on it. You've done a 4-episode series. You know, a lot of American shows start with like a smaller number, like a 6-episode series, just to see how it goes and how it tests. It's done well. Luther's done well. You could do a 12-episode series of Luther and it would kill. And it's just that I don't understand how they could take a risk on something that's proven itself,
at
the very least. But, you know, you might be right. I think they are scared because they've just cancelled the Formula One contract because they've run out of money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just, come on, BBC. We want you to win. We
damn
want
straight.
You to win. What's this? The algorithm department has just emailed me saying, I'm looking forward to hearing the glee in your voice talking about how the producer of Chuck has taken over the Muppets for the reboot next year. Wow, the Muppets reboot next year. That's exciting.
Yeah,
come on. Oh,
where's the glee?
Where's
the glee in your voice, Howell?
Can you not hear it?
It wasn't very glee.
This is me gleeful.
I want to hear you need to do like a whoop or something.
Ah, right, okay. Oh, Christian Talbot's just messaged me. Yes, he is online, but he can't play. Oh, what the heck? In the middle of stuff here, House, I can't do tonight, but we'll be around for the next show. Oh, Christian.
This is Christmas. I mean, this
Oh, Christian.
You know what? Christmas time, you're meant to get everybody together in a room or on a conference call, as it may be, and just, it's meant to be everybody getting together in a laugh. We can't get anybody.
Oh, Christian, our Christmas special has turned into just me and Jamie. This message is being read out on the podcast. If you can spare 5 minutes to make...
Oh, no, Howell, don't do that. That's desperate.
No, we want to remove that.
Just remove any, like, leave the... You know, we don't want to get desperate now, you know.
Jamie,
we don't want to get desperate. We've got to value our
Jamie
product.
Is saying, don't send this. We need to value our product.
And we need to sound not desperate.
We need to sound not desperate. Look, we used to do the podcast just the two of us, right? Mm. And then the algorithm department goes, oh, you should get more people on. So what did we do? We got more people on. And what happens when you put yourself out there?
You get hurt.
And Marsha emailed me saying she'd be on.
Where is she?
She ain't here, is she?
She's in bloody Canadians. Well, she's not even Canadian.
New York.
She just lived. Oh, she didn't. Oh.
Marsha.
Don't get
you
desperate.
There?
Don't get desperate.
Is anybody there?
Maybe this is the way it should be. Yeah, let's reflect on
Let's reflect on a year. This time last year, we just started the box set pod. We were in full time employment, albeit freelance employment. For the 10th year on...
We were still getting celebrity guests every now and then.
Because we could also promise them, oftentimes disingenuously, that we would put them on our FM radio show as well. Now it's just us. Everything has gone. Everything.
Even the studio, I mean, we're just on...
In our
bedrooms.
My laptop is... resting symbolically on a suitcase. At the moment, as we and got away, you're in Montreal.
Yeah. You went to Canada, yeah. Okay.
Forward to that. We go and knock on Marsha's door. Hey, thought you said you were going to be on.
Oh, yeah, he'll knock on it. Kick the bugger down.
Kick the damn door down. What the hell?
Well, I've got some news I can do.
Have you? I was enjoying the moment. But,
yeah, we can dwell on
the... Are you glad about the decisions we made that meant that we've, you know, quit our day job?
Well,
do you ever have any doubts?
No, I don't think, no, not at all. Do you?
No, never.
No.
Not one bit.
I sometimes wonder...
Yeah.
What we'd be like mentally if we were still there now. I do have that thought, like, what state of mind will we be in right now?
I know.
It wouldn't be good. I don't think it'd be healthy.
I still shiver, you know, and like...
Yeah, we were done here. We were kaput.
I really do wake up in a cold sweat sometimes just thinking that I still have to get up at 3 a.m. and
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm so glad we did what we did. It's just great. It's great. And you're starting a new job in the new year.
See how that goes.
See how that goes.
2016.
Big year.
Intriguing. I'm going to miss being unemployed because...
it's great, isn't it?
It is good. You know, I mean, I know people diss it a lot. And you get a lot of, you know...
Apologies for that massive burp I just did, by the way.
It's all right, Howell. Were you thinking about the old days, getting nervous?
That's what happens. I was thinking about the future when you said big year 2016. That brought on the burp.
Oh.
It really did.
Yeah. Unemployment. It's fun. You know, I did a lot of running, did a lot of exercising, watched a hell of a lot of TV, watched some really good stuff. I want to mention just a few little shout-outs to The Peep Show, which was a brilliant last series.
Yeah.
And one of the best ending to a... The best ending to a TV show ever.
Now, is this because it's a clever ending?
It's not even clever.
Do I need to have watched all of it?
Not really. How much have you watched of it? You watched most of it.
No, a few episodes.
Oh, really? Well, you should. I mean, you don't need to watch all of it, but you probably need a little bit of like knowledge of the bit of the plot that's happened in the past, you know? But it was a really good ending because it just totally fit the show.
Yeah.
It was just like, okay. And
I really want to know what it is now. What do people think about in the new year? Should we be doing spoiler episodes? Should we be doing retrospectives where we talk about stuff. My brother said that we should. He was like, you should do one where you're talking about the Jinx and what happens in the Jinx.
Yeah, he's right. I think we were a bit stumped last week about how to handle the subject matter, weren't we? That was the thing.
Well, when you haven't got somebody new to it, I suppose, but shall we go in that direction?
Yeah.
Let us know. Do let us know if you think that we should go in that direction. And we might.
Give us the word on the street.
Give us the word on the street, Jamie. What's happening?
Okay, so first of all, great trailer. Well, House of Cards returns March the 4th on Netflix, season 4. And
March.
Yeah, March the 4th. Mm. And they've released a political campaign advert to tease the show. So it's Frank Underwood's political campaign teaser, explaining that he's running for his second term as President of the United States. And it's very good because it's sort of, you know, it makes him out to be this wonderful guy. He's helped build America and bring jobs back. And we all know he's a bit of a douche. But it gives nothing away about what's happening with his relationship with his wife, Claire. No clues about the plot, but it's a really nice, clever little tease. A sort of 30-second campaign advert for Frank Underwood wants a second term as president. That's worth a look. That's on the boxheadpod.com/news.
Excellent.
Fourth season will be interesting because the original TV show, the original...
What was that? Oh, you didn't hear that, did you?
No, what happened?
There was just a ping.
Okay.
Right.
So, so the original House of Cards from the BBC was only 3 series long. They only did 3 series of it, so... You know, I've not seen the original BBC one, but I thought they would just do 3 series originally and just follow the original show plan and plot it out the same way. But they've gone to a 4th series. I have no idea if that means anything. I don't know if they've already diverted quite far away from the original show.
Which one are you talking about again?
The British version. British version of House of Cards.
House of Cards, right, got you.
Jeez, Howell.
No, I'm...
There's only 2 of us in the room.
I promise you, I'm giving you my attention now. I was just trying to make sure that pings and pongs were off.
Okay. In other news, Twin Peaks is returning 2017.
Yeah. Exciting.
2017 on Showtime. Have you seen Twin Peaks, Al?
No, but you've got me excited about it. I mean... Yeah, I watched a bit.
I've got the originals. You got to watch the first series because it's very good.
Right.
Goes a bit crap when David Lynch stopped giving one and started doing other films and stuff. And you can actually almost spot the point where David Lynch stopped caring and the show goes downhill. Yeah. But the show, he is back for the new third series. And there's a nice little video. I put it on the website, and it shows them sort of the behind-the-scenes re-erecting the Welcome to Twin Peaks sign with the music. There's nothing like the Twin Peaks music.
How's it go?
Especially because I was like, oh, boom, 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 boom. Hold on a minute, how's it go? Hold on, I'll find it. Here we go.
Is it off pure mute?
Here we go. Is it what?
Was it on Pure Moods circa 1988?
It may well have been, yeah. It goes, here we go. There we go. Boom. Boom, boom. Boom, 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 like that. So it's
I'll
like
hear it better if you don't sing with it.
Okay, do you want me to play that again? All right, here we go. All right. Well done. Well done. Can you hear that? Anyway, it's haunting. I remember it. I remember being like a 10-year-old kid or whatever I was at the time. That music just brings back all kinds of weird flashbacks, you know.
Yeah.
Freaked out by this weird, surreal TV drama that I really shouldn't have been watching.
Yeah.
And my parents should have thought a lot about that, but they never did. Also, though, I've not put it on there, but...
Your mum kept you down. Your mum let you watch scary stuff because she knew it would be another way of keeping you in the house.
You've got a very...
If you found out that was true... How surprised would you be?
Okay, not very. All right. Okay. We'll give you that.
Yeah.
Also, I want to talk about the Metacritic. Have you been on Metacritic? It's a bit like Rotten Tomatoes. It's good for like finding out the critical response to TV, film, music, anything. Anyway, they put on there, it's a list of TV shows most frequently mentioned by individual TV critics in their year-end top 10 lists. So what they've done is, if a critic ranks more than the standard 10 show, oh no, forget that. Basically, if a critic ranks his top 10 shows of 2015, they've taken all those lists and put them in order of which shows have ranked highest and most in those particular lists, and they've ranked them themselves. So the most popular show, critically, of 2015, you ready for this? Yeah. Actually, I'll do a rundown. I'll do a rundown.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
I'll do a rundown of the. I'll do it starting at number 10. So, number 10 is Game of Thrones and The Jinx. So, Game of Thrones and The Jinx.
Undermining the algorithm department here. You do know that.
Well, this isn't about selling, this is about critical response. Right. At number nine, number nine is Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
You do realise that the idea of the algorithm department is that it takes into account lots of different things. So he might already take into account this Metacritic thing.
That's Ben's thing, isn't it? You know, Kimmy Schmidt's at number nine. At number eight, Brilliant. The Leftovers. Mm. The Leftovers. Watch the first series. I'm meaning to watch the second.
Which
one's it's a bit
The
miserable.
Leftovers?
It's the one where people disappear from the planet.
Gone. Yeah.
At number seven is The Americans. Not seen it, but it does get very high ratings. It's about sort of Soviet spies living in America, a family of them or something. Ooh. At number six, Master of None. This is on Netflix. It's the comedy.
I'm about to watch that. I finished The Good Wife yesterday.
Caught up?
No, I'm up to date on Netflix UK, right?
So
I know that a key character leaves apart from the key character that just died. I know that one leaves and she hasn't left yet. I know that I'm not completely up to date, but I'm up to date with the Netflix. So I started Bloodline, which I absolutely love.
It's
what
brilliant.
A sumptuous pilot that is.
How far? Oh, right, you only just started it. Ooh, yeah. I tell you, episode 5 onwards, that show, it really just turns up the tension.
Yeah,
turns
because
up the tension.
Didn't your wife ditch it after a couple?
She ditched it after 4, so she gave it the 4-episode rule. But I didn't. I carried on because I still kind of liked it, and I'm glad I did.
Well, I went down there. I went to Key Largo.
Not long
ago. And it was probably the one day a year that Key Largo was cloudy. Which I was gutting. There's nothing more miserable. Like, Britain's miserable because it's grey all the time. But when a sunny place is miserable, it's somehow even more miserable.
Well, you know what? This is my thing at the moment. I've noticed so many TV shows are miserable people in beautiful places.
Yeah.
So you've got Broadchurch, you've got Bloodline, you've got The Affair. Yeah. They're in these picturesque places, and they're just horribly unhappy people. It's all they do these
Let's
days.
Let's do a series of supermodels in Preston.
All right, at number four, Mad Men.
Or Beautiful
course.
Animals. We could build the world's greatest zoo in Scunthorpe or in Hull. International listeners, just Google Hull, H-U-L-L, and while you're there, Google Preston Bus Station.
Oh, yeah.
That's Britain. That's Britain. God, yeah. Britain's fucking miserable. I was driving through St. Helens today. Oh, my God. I mean, honestly, what a miserable dump of a place.
Yeah.
And then not only that, it was busy traffic. So it was the depressing idea that these 60s, they're not even tower blocks, these four-story 60s buildings that are falling to pieces and still have, catalogue shops in them.
Yeah.
And not only is this the most miserable thing I've ever seen, but people are choosing to go and queue up to do their Christmas bloody shopping there.
Oh,
and I just thought, there's people who live in Hawaii who complain because they're not happy with their life.
Jesus, yeah. Amazing.
Let's go to no idea. For a week, see what happens.
You know, we have got the worst like town planners in the world.
That's
in this
it.
Country.
That's it. When you think, and you know, look, America is like, if you drive across America, there's a strip mall and a McDonald's and on every every corner. But you still, I think there's still a belief in aesthetics when they build a building, generally speaking. You know, you've still got a chance of there being a, like you say, a town planner, rather than the planning being about how much shit can we get into one space.
Yes.
Like, how will it look is a question that would be, it'd be nice to.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Do you, anyway.
You were doing a chart of some kind, weren't you? What?
Yeah. This is the critics chart of 2015. At number 4, Mad Men. Number 3. Transparent. At number 2, Mr. Robot.
Oh.
And at number 1, Fargo season 2.
Oh my god, have you watched it?
No, you know, my mum and dad were talking about it though as well, and they said it's brilliant and that Kirsten Dunst is brilliant in it. I've got to get back into it. Yes, I gave up a little bit.
Kirsten Dunst is brilliant. But that series, right, I understand, maybe 3, maybe 4, maybe 5 episodes, you're like, yeah, it's good. And then you realise, like all good novels and stuff, all the work is done by that point. And then suddenly it's just, you're freewheeling into crazy town and it's brilliant. It's got everything. There's something that happens in it that is just so, it's such a brave choice. If I told you now what happened, you'd go, yeah. What? Like, it almost becomes a different genre.
Well, I know that I watched the first couple of episodes and there's like a UFO vibe to things. Mm. And I'm imagining that's going to be playing a bigger part in the series. Yeah. So I don't know what, but I mean, I imagine there's something coming down that road.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay. There you go. Well, I'm glad that that's in the stratosphere.
No, at number one, critically number one in 2015 was Fargo.
And it should be. It should be, because it almost, like, because it's so similar in style to the first series.
Yeah.
You almost think that it's too easy. You almost think, oh, I've kind of seen this before. And then you don't realise the cinematography, the music choices in it. Like, I've noticed they use, like, pop 70s music when it's all to do with the sort of gangsters.
Yeah.
And when they're telling the story of the butcher, when they're telling the sort of tale of the butcher and the police at the show.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like massive orchestral stuff. Yeah. So you know, it's just very, very clever on lots of levels, and then becomes brilliant. And it won't take you long either. You'll nail it pretty quick.
Yeah,
that's the thing. And now to end the podcast this week, saving us at the last minute.
Oh, hey.
Get ready. Here we go. Is it Bill Murray? Is it George Clooney?
Yeah.
Is it the internet department?
Hey! Here he is.
Adam Comstock. Oh, hearing myself coming back there, Adam. Have you got some headphones in?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
so that's a professional story, isn't it?
You sound muffled, and don't blame us for your unprofessional audio equipment.
Right, hang on. I don't have professional audio equipment.
No, that sounds good. When you
that sounds good.
Back to this, you'll hear your first sentence again, and it is quite beautiful. I think I know what I'm going to repeat at the end of this podcast now.
Oh, looking forward to it.
That was quite beautiful.
The end of this podcast.
let me give you a list. We're very near the end. Let me give you a list, okay. Adam.
Oh, okay.
I'm hearing myself again. What are you doing? You keep putting it. Are you putting it under your chin or something? What's going on?
A little.
Okay, you're back now. You're back.
I need some coaching. All right. Okay.
So you're just creating an echo with some weird position every so often. I'm not sure why. Pull your pants up. So we've got. Ben, the algorithm department. Marsha, the Canada department. Mel, the USA department. Christian, the Irish department, Matt, the London department, and Jack, the Lancaster department, and Andrew James Spooner, the Muppet department. All of those people at some point were planned to be on this podcast. None of them are here. So our Christmas special, which was going to be like a get together with mulled wine and all of us singing Auld Lang Syne together, is now me and Jamie saved by a man who can barely hold an iPad.
You think pretty highly of me. It's not an iPad.
The reason I wanted particularly to get you on, other than you being the obviously ninth and last choice, right, is because you have shared with me that you...
So that must be what that feedback was. It's the sound that you get at the bottom of a barrel. That's the echo.
Well, bottom of the barrel. You shared with me your disgust that people around me on this podcast weren't in love with the A Very Murray Christmas. In fact, it was met with fairly cold indifference, I believe, wasn't it?
It really was, yeah. I've listened to the last couple, and I don't get it. I'm out of love with your panel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, that's the thing. I was saying this earlier, Adam. Actually, like, I feel like I didn't know what I was gonna get, and I guess I need to watch it again because I feel like I would like it again, but I just didn't expect what I got, and I was a little bit taken by surprise. So.
Now, it was exactly what I expected. Adam, how did you approach this?
I think I was talking to a couple of colleagues about this today, and they said, it's a Bill Murray Christmas special. And if you're excited by the very words, Bill Murray and Christmas, as I said, if you're expected just to look at Bill Murray's face and think I could be happy to look at Bill Murray's miserable sort of sardonic face for an hour, then you are not going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
If you expect plot or jokes or anything other than just Bill Murray's face at Christmas, then you could be disappointed. But if, like me, and like Howell, and like lots and lots of people, you just want to see Bill Murray singing songs in a bar, it's beautiful. And it is sort of, it's the most Christmassy thing I've seen this year. Definitely.
I think it's very easy to be both. I, as a person, am very cynical and very sentimental. And I think Bill Murray is both of those things.
He speaks to you.
As well, yeah. And I think Adam is those things as well. I think Jamie is sort of those things.
Yeah,
you know, you're probably more multifaceted, but that's exactly what I expected from him. He kind of, you get the feeling that there's a part of Bill that absolutely loves the idea of a Bing Crosby Christmas special. Get it from under your chin again, Adam. There we go. He's no, I can't do it. I can hear myself coming back. What are you doing with your
booty call?
It's not weird. It's back again now. It's back. So forget it. Bill Murray has both undone and done everything that he both loves and hates about Christmas.
Yeah. It's you can't sell it to someone who isn't sold at the title.
No, but Jamie should be. This is why I'm so shocked. And Christian. Christian's a stand-up comic. Jamie's Jamie.
I love Bill Murray. I didn't expect so much.
You see, there's that word, expect.
Yeah. I feel like if I watched it now, after a couple of, like, mulled wines, I'd love it, but I feel like at the time I was probably a little bit in the wrong state of mind. I was expecting some sort of plot involving Bill Murray getting...
You were expecting a caper, weren't you?
A little bit, yeah. A little bit more going on. And I was a little bit like, okay, this isn't the same deal I'd get. But I think you do, in a lot of ways, need to know what you're getting from it. And once you do... It's just enjoy being in that world with Bill Murray for an hour. And that's what I want to try.
Step into that barroom world.
Yeah.
The, I think it's fair to say that, as there's no plot, there's no spoilers. The change location into Bill's fantasy world was well due. Because I watched it with my, you know, it was last Friday evening, had a couple of glasses of port, you know, got the cheese board out, just watched him croon. But there was a point where we went, oh, God, it was getting miserable in that bar, wasn't it?
So it's nice. Perhaps they changed the tone.
One too many song. You know, if I was going to criticise anything, one too many, perhaps Miley Cyrus song. You could tell there was probably a deal that went, yeah, she can sing a couple.
She probably got a contract. First time I think I've ever heard Miley Cyrus do anything.
Yeah, she can quite good. Let's face it.
It's all right. Yeah.
I enjoyed it. And I just think that it's, in the same way Lost in Translation sort of summed up what it's actually like to go to a really nice hotel. It's like suddenly you have the power. You've got the first world problems and luxury of having nothing to worry about to the point you can stare out of a window and be pensive. Well, that's what Christmas is, isn't it? Christmas is like driving through St. Helens today, a fucking miserable time of year, which is then mixed together with some reasons to see the beauty and beauty in things.
What was that?
And so we come to the end.
Just before we go to the end, can I just mention I watched Star Wars today, and I just want to talk a little bit about Star Wars very quickly because it's very good. And even if you don't like Star Wars,
end for Christmas. Bear in mind that we'll be back the second week of January. I'm going to Montreal, so see you after that. Second week of January. For everyone who's involved in this podcast, that means we'll be recording it on the 12th. Please be there. And that's the easiest way to communicate with them.
Just get the other eight to let me know if they're busy. Yeah,
we'll add them. And because it's Christmas and because Bill's taught us that we should end with a song, Jamie, please will you tell us everything about Star Wars that you want to tell us, but please will you sing it as a Christmas carol.
All right, I'll do the Silent Night. Okay. So, Star Wars was very good because George Lucas wasn't involved, and it felt like a real world, not just blue screen soundstage shit. It was excellently told and very funny. Really good, honestly, that's all I'm going to say.
That was brilliant.
I'm so glad I was here for that.
And that's exactly why I think I like this Star Wars, and that is exactly why Disney should take over everything. Thank you.
I'm so sad I was here for that.
And J.J. Abrams. You've got to have the mix of the two. Thank you. Happy Christmas, Adam, and thanks for all your work in the internet department.
It was a busy week. We'll do some more. New year, new site.
Happy Christmas, everyone. Email us. Should we do spoiler episodes? studio@theboxsetpod.com. Send us a Christmas card. studio@theboxsetpod.com. We need to hear from you, as you can tell. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Merry Christmas.
Hearing myself back there, Adam. Have you got some headphones in?
No, I haven't.
You sound muffled.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Don't blame us for your unprofessional audio equipment.